Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
I destroyed.
John's ripping Coors Light families apart.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Is it time for a break?
Mind.
You did? Nice, though. You have to do that more lately, don't we? We've been doing that a little bit more.
Well, because of your unprofessionalism.
Not mine, per se.
I did the break signal multiple times when we
not,
could have been
not
out on
not
time.
Really.
You didn't. You ignored it.
Not really, per se. I like to say per se. So we pretty much broke down. We got Chaz the Fat, Chase the Fight.
Well, he's no longer with us. Are we going to make fun of him now that he's out the door?
Well, he's not dead.
He's no longer with the team.
He's no longer with the team, but he's not dead.
Well, baseball's dead outside of Houston Astros to me, so he's dead to me.
He's pretty much dead to me. The other thing is, and I was listening to the afternoon show yesterday for a little while, and I also saw that this morning, you know, Max Scherzer is out there still. Justin Verlander is still out there. I thought Joe brought up a pretty good point. He said, you know what? Fromber should just wait. Fromber is the only top 100 player in Major League Baseball that isn't signed. He's number 80 on the list of top 100 players put out by Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a subjective list, but he's every other really, really good player is signed. And Fromber isn't. And I think in large part because of his attitude. Certainly hitting, what was his name, the catcher? He was a backup.
Sanchez.
Anyway.
I think it's because he just wants a lot of money. I mean, Blake Snell had the same situation.
Yeah.
We saw that with Blake.
Yeah, but
I don't remember him crossing anyone up. I mean, this is Alex Bregman went deep. I don't think people want to give him. My guess is he's looking for 7 years, and they don't want to give a player who's over 37 years.
Yeah, that's a real possibility.
I mean,
but Joe brought up. He said, "You know what? I'd wait till the World Baseball Classic because somebody's going to get hurt and somebody's going to be desperate."
Oh yeah, if you're a pitcher, there's no rush ever.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, you want to be ready by the time the season starts. But I'm not. Well, you are getting ready for pitchers and catchers, but I'm not in a big rush right now. I used to be. When the Blake Snell deal went through, and then to watch what happened afterwards, to see the money he got, and to see the level at which he pitches now, I realized, and this has actually happened here the last 2 years, where players, good players, are left out. Remember, it was this time last year, hey, Bregman could come back.
Mm-mm.
He didn't have an offer.
Yeah.
And we thought Bregman might come back when he was never going to come back.
Right.
Well, I don't know if we thought it could happen. But we had that discussion.
Would if you're Boris and you don't get the years, would you do a 1 year deal?
No, you do a 3 year deal with opt outs.
Yeah.
Just the Carlos deal.
Yeah.
You do 3 years, 33 million a year or whatever, and then
oh,
you
he
say
ain't getting 33.
Oh yeah, you get higher. Look how much Carlos got.
Yeah, not Fromber.
Yeah, he's actually Fromber's better than good. Carlos when Carlos got paid, his Fromber is better than Carlos. He's more productive than Carlos was when he got his offer. Fromber, you'll get paid on a shorter deal. You get paid more.
Yeah.
You know, he'll get $30 million a year easy, but it'll be a three-year deal, and it will be opt-outs every single year for Fromber. It's the same deal that we've seen. Alex Bregman got that.
Well,
right?
he got opt-outs. Right.
And who's his agent?
Right. Boris.
And then Carlos, who's his agent?
Boris.
Opt-out. It's going to be the same thing. A three-year deal. Every year is an opt-out.
Yeah, apparently he's not even getting that right now. I don't know that anybody's ready to pay Fromber. I don't know that I'm ready. I mean, Fromber's been a horse. Fromber's been one of the top 10 pitchers over the last 5
there's
years.
There's nothing on in paper. The league. There's nothing in his performance that would say you don't pay Fromber.
Except
he doesn't get hurt. Yeah. You're literally basing this on one issue this year.
Not one when issue. He was more than one issue.
At 1 year.
Yeah.
Has he been a problem any other years?
No, he has not. Well, he has always been a head case. He's always been a head case.
He's not been a problem on a team.
No. Fromber, but he's always been a head case. But when things are down.
I think you're making too big a deal about this. He had an issue with the team in a contract year over, and you even talk about this happens in.
We've seen Fromber fall apart earlier in his career.
Yeah.
Earlier in his career when things weren't going well.
He fell, That was 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
It's just not an issue. In real life, Fromber has been a horse. He doesn't get hurt. He is a ground ball pitcher who doesn't give up a lot of home runs. There's everything that you would want Fromber. He's probably asking for he's a little bit older. He's asking, my guess is, I doubt that I guarantee you there are plenty of teams who would offer him a 3-year deal right now. Plenty of teams. Why would you not? You get Fromber Valdez on a 3-year deal, which is really a 1-year deal. Why would you not give him that? It doesn't hurt you.
Well,
if I'm the Astros, I'd offer it to him. 3 years, $100 million. Let's go, Boris. Get him in here, and we'll give you an opt-out after this year. That's fine. I would love to have Fromber back here. You get Fromber and Hunter Brown as your 1-2, and you got Javier Arrigetti, the great Mike Burrows, and everybody, and the Japanese pitcher, and it'd be great. Astros would be in better shape if they had Fromber.
Whatever it is.
I let you say it. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Katsuya.
You know how to pronounce it. I need to learn how to pronounce it because I'm going to Japan.
Yes, you do.
So I need to learn how to speak Japanese.
You do.
But not use Japanese accents.
Oh.
I
think that you need to learn. If you watch Shogun and there was a one guy in there.
I did watch Shogun. Yeah.
And I think you should just watch Shogun again and then imitate him.
Sound like you were having acid reflux.
Yeah, he did. If you're going to go to Japan,
have you ever heard Joe Coy's accents?
Who's
Joe Coy, the comedian?
I have.
Where he does the accents of the different Asian. It's
Vietnamese
absolutely
is hilarious.
His Vietnamese and his Japanese are really, really funny. Joe started off being
okay. How come
okay.
he can do it and we can't?
It's Filipino.
Yeah, well,
he's Filipino.
So I can do Italian.
So I heard for the first time.
You can't do Italian.
I was driving back.
You can do German.
No. I can do Italian too. So here's the rule. I heard the rule yesterday. I was listening to a comedy channel when I was driving back from Louisiana, from Lake Charles. And the question came up. This guy asked Seth Meyers. He did an imitation of a German man. And so after his stand-up set, the German guy said, would you be upset if a German comedian, if you went and saw a German comedian do an American accent? He goes, why would I ever go see a German comedian? Which, it's got a point.
Right.
I immediately started thinking, I don't know a single German comedian.
No, they're not
funny. And they're not known for their...
The French either aren't funny.
No.
Everything is very serious. Stupid Americans, you stink. And I smoke a cigarette right now. And the world is a very bad place.
Wait, who did Inspector Clouseau? That's an English guy, right?
Yeah.
It's Peter, what was the comedian's name?
Yeah.
Not Dinklage. Tiny.
That's
not Peter Dinklage.
Little guy. That's
it's not Peter Falk.
No.
What was his name?
Oh, God.
Peter, you know who I'm talking about, Inspector Clouseau, Pink Panther. So anyway, so here's the thing. So then the guy goes, okay, would you do an African accent? And Seth goes, absolutely not. I wouldn't do that. He goes, it's 20 in this stand up. He said, it's 2024. Why in the world would I do that? And then he goes, okay, then what's the cutoff? Where's the rule? He goes, well, Peter Sellers. He goes, I think it's very simple. European borders, not including Turkey. He goes, the European borders anywhere in there. And he started doing, he goes, watch me do a Swedish accent. Like that. He said, that's how I got introduced was the Muppets because they had the Swedish chef. He said, I'm sure there were Swedish people saying, hey, this isn't how you should be introduced to us, to our culture. Mm-hmm. This is not fair. But it's true. I can do Italian. I could do French. I could do German. I could do birba dirba.
Yeah.
Don't mess with turkey. We learned that. Don't. No jokes.
No jokes about turkey.
No jokes. Especially if you have a basketball
Don't
player.
Even criticize Alpi.
You're actually not even supposed to criticize him.
No. Nothing. Nothing. Because they're dangerous people.
Well, the Linsanity, some people call them the Linbreds, they were also the Manzellets. But I came up with the Manzellets. That was a really underrated term. That should have gained a lot of national steam. The Manzellets, the people who just wouldn't shut up about Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
But the Linsanity people were out of their mind. And they're not Asian. They were just Jeremy Lin fans. Now, the Yao people were... I had my own problems with Yao people.
What about the Vince or the Bush people?
The VY army was pretty bad.
Yeah.
The Reggie people kind of went away once we didn't draft Reggie.
We can't call them.
There Bush. Was no such thing as
we
a
can't
Mario.
Call them Bush people, can we? No.
Well, there was no such thing as Mario people.
Nobody
had the best
all
career.
All of a sudden it was like, who?
Had the best career of all three of them.
Yeah. But it was like, who did they? What? They didn't take Vince or Reggie?
That was, I'll never forget that Friday where at least
North
out
Carolina the, State? What?
Now his combine was insane. Absolutely insane numbers. But Mario Williams, yeah, Mario Williams came out of nowhere, and we found out on Friday it leaked, and we were like, I remember listening to Charlie and Rich's show, and there was, I thought the city would burn. The anger on that show. Hey, guys, long-time listener, first-time caller. If this information is true, that the Texans are passing on Vince Young.
I will never.
For Mario Williams, not even Reggie Bush, that I swear I will cancel all of my tickets. I will throw away all of my Texan stuff. And I will say as much bad stuff about them to try to get people to stop watching them as I possibly can. I'm a lifelong Longhorn fan. Or I'm a lifelong Aggie, and even I'm bought into Vince Young. You cannot go. Grown people cried on the air about Mario Williams getting drafted. Then here's what Mario Williams did. Well, okay. His second year, he had 14 sacks. His third year, he had 12 sacks. Then he had 9, 8.5, 5. Then he went to Buffalo, had 10.5, 13, 14.5. Mario had 5 years of double-digit sacks. He was AP first team. He was AP first team 1 year, second team 2 years. That's back when Pro Bowls actually counted.
Yeah.
So he made Pro Bowl
four times.
That's, like I said, back when they counted.
Mm-hmm.
Mario had a better career than Vince or Reggie. Vince's was cut short. Vince had better flashes. Vince had flashes. It just kind of went away quick. Reggie Bush was, they just really didn't know how to use him at the time. Should Reggie Bush have turned into, was Reggie Bush actually Jahmyr Gibbs, and they just didn't know how to use him back then?
Mm.
Right? Yeah. Or Alvin Kamara?
He could have been, yep.
Or Alvin Kamara, they just didn't know how to use him?
Yep, he absolutely could have been. They just, it was.
And
it,
you know what's ironic is, who was his coach?
Not Sean Payton. It was before.
Yeah, it was Sean Payton.
It was Sean Payton?
Maybe not the whole time, but Sean Payton was his coach definitely for part of his time in New Orleans. He was there until 2010. And who knows how to use people better than Sean Payton?
Nobody.
And that, actually, they used him pretty well. But Sean Payton got to the Saints and Sean Payton got to the Saints in, ooh, he had quite the playing career. Head coach from 2006 to 2011. No, assistant head coach and quarterbacks coach.
So he's
still. No. He was head coach. Yeah, he was there for the whole Reggie Bush time.
Yeah.
So maybe he did use him pretty effectively for what Reggie Bush is. You couldn't really. I don't think they got the most out of Reggie. But a big part of who Reggie was is you had to get him in punt returns, manufactured touches.
Did they get the most out of Vince? I think they got all they could. If you want to know the truth.
Do you know on Sean Payton's coaching stuff on Wikipedia, they've got him as offensive coordinator for Liberty Christian. Remember the year that he was out because of Deflategate? He was suspended Bounty Gate. That's what it's called. He spent a year in high school up there in the Dallas area. as a quote unquote offense coordinator. They listed that on his Wikipedia under his coaching. Is that, should that be in there?
Yeah.
Liberty Christian offensive coordinator.
Well,
and then Denver
then back
Broncos.
To the Saints?
It's between, no. Oh, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Then back to the Saints and then back to, and now to the Broncos.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, sure. It's part of who he is. It's part of what makes up Sean Payton.
Did you know Sean Payton is an Eastern Illinois Hall of Famer?
Is he?
Yeah.
Wow. Along with Tony Romo?
Yeah. He's Eastern Illinois, too.
Yep. 827 ESPN, 97.5. Who is that?
Do you know he was a two-time Greasy Neal Award winner?
I didn't know who.
What is Greasy Neal Award winner?
Sounds like an Italian. But
Greasy
Neal? I don't know. Yeah, there ain't many.
It still goes on. You know who won it last year? Sean McDermott. Fired. The year before that, Dan Campbell. The year before that, Nick Sirianni. What is Greasy Neal? Is that it's not Coach of the Year. It's not the same thing.
Well, obviously it is. It's some kind of Coach of the Year award. Who's Greasy Neal?
The award named after Earl Greasy Neal was established in 1989 and is presented by the Maxwell Football Club to the top head coach in the NFL.
How about that?
So basically, whoever, like, I guess it's if you won the real award, then you don't win the Greasy Neal's basically for second place.
That's it?
That's my guess.
Let's get Alan in here. He wants to talk a little draft. What do you say, Alan?
What's going on, fellas? Yeah, just talking about the Mario Edwards and Reggie Bush kind of pass thing. Going back to 2005, like South Louisiana obviously tore up by Katrina. And, you know, immediately got Sean Payton and then the Texans passing on Reggie Bush and Vince Young. Like, that really, like, gave New Orleans a shot of adrenaline that, like, we needed. And I really believe that, like, y'all passing on Mario, us getting Reggie, us getting Sean Payton, the back in the dome kind of thing really started and propelled us to the 2009 Super Bowl. And shout out Houston for that. And as well as this, who's feeling better right now, my New Orleans Saints with Tyler Shuck or C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans? Thank y'all.
I think Stroud. I mean, Tyler Shuck.
Oh, I don't know. People here do not feel good about it. I mean, everybody's down on C.J.
This Tyler Shuck thing is a farce. Y'all need to be careful.
Well,
on
he said who feels better about it. And you want to know the truth? Probably New Orleans people.
You need to be careful.
Feel
on
better about
Shuck
than Texans.
Who feels better, the Texans?
Feel about.
Okay, let me change it up. Now let's go with the macro view. Who feels better about their team, the Texans or the Saints fans?
Well, obviously.
No, well, yo, I don't care who my quarterback is. I got a lot more reasons to watch my team on Sunday than
you do. I
know,
but a lot of people are down on CJ. It's really,
well, you can be
serious.
Down on them. I'm still watching because the Texans
are in
the playoffs.
Well, they'll never stop watching over there either.
The Saints stink.
Yeah, but they love
Saints
their team.
The Saints defense stink. Mickey Loomis is one of the worst GMs in the league. He trades away top picks constantly. His picks are terrible. You got a bad defensive coordinator. You got a bad general manager. You've got a quarterback who's now 27. I think Shuck is now 26 or 27. You know Shuck is substantially older than our quarterback?
Yeah.
He was in college for 7 years.
Well, that just means he's more experienced and probably.
I mean, y'all's. Now, Houston passing on Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush wouldn't have done anything in Gary Kubiak's offense. Gary Kubiak's offense was very static, very regimented, very silo-oriented. I need a back who, and by the way, this was not Reggie Bush, who runs with tempo, who was a one-cut, straight downhill back. That's not who Reggie Bush was at all. He was an awful fit for the zone scheme. So he was never going to be fit. And Vince
was perfect.
Vince, apparently they were never going to draft Vince, is what I guess that was said.
Yeah, that was.
At a church luncheon, I guess. Bob McNair made the comment that Vince was just not going to be the pick.
He was not what Bob was looking for in the face of the franchise. I don't know why. I don't get it. 8:30 ESPN.
How was his hair? How was his hair?
Regular. He had it close cropped.
Yeah. What kind of? Did he cut his hair?
John.
Did he go tight like CJ? I mean, CJ went tight.
Well, he didn't go that tight.
It's pretty tight.
It's not as tight as he could go.
He's got a little bit of a fade, but he's got.
Yeah, he's still got the crop up there.
He's still got That's not a real short. Vince
just cut the locks off. Yeah, it's got the braids off, but.
Yeah, Vince had the tight cut.
Yeah.
Well, it's a lot tighter than it was.
Well, yeah, he just doesn't have braids. Thank goodness he got rid of those braids, John, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Well, I mean, it just looks good. That just looks good.
He looks clean cut.
He does look clean cut. And he doesn't
he looks well spoken.
He doesn't look
say them all, John. Get him out.
He doesn't look mopey anymore.
Well, he's smiling
in that
picture.
Well, he's not on the field, yeah. The mopiness comes out when he's playing poorly.
Well, we'll see now without the Braves if he's going to look mopey.
Put that haircut in the uniform and let him throw four interceptions, and let's see if you think that face looks non-mopey.
He looks like a school kid. Look at what he's wearing. And
he's just got buttoned up to the top.
Buttoned up.
It almost does look like it's not real.
It does look like. That's why I said when I first saw it, I said, that's not real.
It really does.
And
like,
first
when
of
you
all,
see
is
him,
that CJ? It doesn't even look like
when you see CJ, yeah, his face looks different. Uh-huh. With his hair being different, he's, yeah, he looks different. This is a new CJ. You might be right.
I am right.
This may be Super Bowl CJ. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Maybe this is just a matter of cutting off the hair.
Hmm.
You know, Fromber, braids, no braids. And we've seen Fromber pitch well with both braids and no braids. I would have gone no braids, honestly, because he seemed to get it back when he went no braids, and then he decided to go braids again. And then he kind of then he started throwing at people.
I'm
going
to talk to you guys off air because I don't want to bring it up on there. I'm going to point something out to you and see if you agree about CJ's new look.
Okay. Oh, boy. All right. We'll do that on the other side.
No, not on the other side. During the break.
During the break. How about we talk about a little taquerias?
Taquerias Arandas. I've got to tell you, I'm really mad at Saul. We got to get our food. We just got to get some food in here. John's not going to be here that much longer, and he wants to get the food in studio. What's the problem, Saul? Let's get it. We can't go to Taqueria Sarandas in the morning. Now, actually, I can, and I have gone because they're open. I always look for places that are open for quote unquote lunch after the show's over. And most places don't open till 11. Taqueria Sarandas is open for lunch, for dinner. You can get lunch items in the morning. Because they're open for breakfast as well. So you can stop in for breakfast anytime you want, for lunch, for dinner. You can stop in to watch your favorite games. They've got television. They've got a bunch of televisions in there. They'll turn them exactly in the games you're looking for. So it could be Saturday, Sunday soccer in the morning. It could be your upcoming baseball games, your basketball, March Madness. Of course, they're going to have hookups for the big game. You're going to have that. That's going to be the case. But you'd be surprised. Go in there and watch your basketball, your NBA basketball in there, and have some drink specials. Get your bar menu going with different food items at the special bar menu. Just hang out with the boys. Have a good time. Taqueria Sarandas. Locations all over the city of Houston. Authentic Mexican with great prices. It's Taqueria Sarandas.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Follow ESPN Houston on social media at ESPN 97.5.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Tom Brady says, I should be a little concerned. Belichick didn't get in. Kraft didn't get in. There's no way Tom Brady does not get in.
Are they making a point that none of those guys are first ballot guys? Are they going to do that? Well, Kraft has been up for induction for a while. So it's long past the first ballot for him. Are they just going to make a point with these Patriots to go, look,
maybe
we think you guys are dirty cheaters, so you're going to take a little hit. And if we can keep Kraft out altogether, we'll do that too. Because they can't keep Brady and Belichick out altogether. But they may just give him a little jab, a little jab in the side. Just to take this for what you guys are up to.
It's a bad look for the Hall of Fame. It really is. This whole thing is a bad look. Belichick not getting in on the first ballot is a bad look. It really is.
I mean, I don't know who. I guess it's upsetting people, but I feel like the Hall of Fame will survive, and the Hall of Fame will tell you, hey, our voters have a guideline, and as long as they follow the guidelines, they can make any decision they want. There was one guy who said it wasn't about keeping Belichick out. He said it was because they're older players who were about to fall off the ballot altogether, and he wanted to give him a shot. Like
that's well, you know.
So he wrote. He's a writer. I forgot where he's from, but he wrote about it. Said, "Hey, it ain't about holding grudges. These are three guys who I think deserve it, and their time is coming to an end as far as trying to get in. So I wanted to vote, and they only let you vote for three, which is probably a problem too.
That's a problem too. Yep, that's a problem. All right, 713-780-3776. Who is it? It is Julian wants to get in here and talk a little Major League Baseball. What do you say, Julian?
What's going on, gentlemen? Two things. I'm doing audiobooks right now, and I'm on Shogun. It's 48 hours. I'm on hour 27. It's pretty crazy. It's better than the show. Second, Kyle Lewis, the Pittsburgh linebacker. How much did he improve his draft stock, man? Y'all have a good one.
I don't know. He played exactly like I saw him on tape. So you hear everyone talking about it. I just think people know about him now on tape. He's the same way. He covers his ass off. He's like a hybrid safety slash nickel slash linebacker. Like, he's 220 some odd pounds. He runs well. He covers like a mother. And on tape, I mean, I gave him a second, third. I think he's probably a second now. So he might have improved it a little bit. But this is just what he did on tape. So he just confirmed that. He's a Pitt linebacker who also kind of plays nickel. So he just plays near the line of scrimmage. He darts in like he's fast, but can really, really cover. Like, he is a very good cover linebacker. And he just ate up everyone at the Senior Bowl. So he's a little undersized, runs well, and plays downhill, you know, takes shots as a run blitzer, makes plays. He's very productive, has great hands, can take the ball away with interceptions. And that's one of those positions, John, in today's NFL, you need a guy who can match up on running backs coming out of the backfield, like good, you know, talented pass catchers out of the backfield, a guy who can guard pass-catching tight ends, you know, stick this guy on him. Well, Fred Warner is an example. Mm-hmm. Now, Fred's a bigger player, but Kyle Lewis is an example of, you have a linebacker who can blitz, who can cover pass-catching linebackers, who can cover running backs out of the backfield, who can take the ball away in zone. That has a lot of value.
Mm-hmm.
And Fred Warner has outplayed his draft slotting, and Kyle Lewis, I think, will go into second because everyone wants to find a Fred Warner, because you're in nickel the whole time. Yep. You're not in your base defense. Very few teams sit and play. The Lions will do it some. Very few teams sit and play in, you know, base defense for the whole.
Well, you're a three down guy. You're a three down guy as opposed to, you know, yes. I got to get off the field.
Yeah, he's smallish, so you can run at him a little bit, but the good outweighs the bad.
Yeah. So where is he going to go?
Second round, I think. It's a good linebacker draft. This is the first time in a long time there's been a good linebacker draft. Although I watched Harold Perkins. So disappointing. This is kind of an aside, really just more for LSU fans and the three of us.
Mm-hmm.
But Harold Perkins his awesome. Freshman year was a monster.
Yep.
In 22. He had a game against Arkansas that was one of the best college games you'll see. In 23, his numbers were still really good. He tore his ACL in 24. Plus, they were putting him at off-ball linebacker. They were trying to help him because at the time, I think he was about 215 pounds. And they're like, you ain't going to play edge in the pros. You're going to be a pro. We got to get you ready at linebacker. And he's just not as good a linebacker. He's better when he's running and chasing. He tore his ACL in 2024 in September and was out for the year, most of the year. And he came back this year, and his stats look okay. He had three interceptions. Two of them were tip balls that, you know, he just caught a ball that was tipped to him. But he's not the same player. He didn't have the same burst. He didn't have the same speed. He was a five-star coming out of the Houston area. I don't know where did Harold Perkins play high school? He was a five-star.
I don't know.
He came here after Katrina. His family moved here after Katrina. He was Cypress Park High School. And man, I'm telling you, man, his first 2 years, you would have swore he's a first round pick. Now I think he'll go in the third probably. Because he was a really good special teams player his freshman year, too. Like, his numbers are crazy good. It's hard to believe that he just doesn't have the same impact that he used to have.
Well, he's undersized for what he's doing.
He's actually 222, which is, it used to be really undersized, and now it's just like, just another Will linebacker.
Yep. 844 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776.
Well, he moved here when he was two, so
he's a Houstonian.
He may have been born in New Orleans, but he's a Houstonian.
Yeah, but his family still has the Louisiana ties.
Well,
that's why he went to LSU,
and it's the culture.
Yeah.
If you have a New Orleans culture,
yeah.
your family culture is New Orleans. That's different.
Yeah.
That's a different culture.
Yeah. Yep. 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 Let's catch up on breaks. We get to you guys right away as soon as we get back. But I really want to talk about Bluebonnet Glass. It's a company that's been in business for 75 years. They came from Brenham. They're in Houston now. It's the same, you know, it's the same though. Nothing has changed. It's about dedication. It's about doing what you say that you're going to do, being on time, having that glass for if you're a contractor or residential. Look, you want your bathrooms to look nicer, okay? It just, everything makes more modern. It's brighter. Glass railings, wine rooms, mirrors, cabinet glass shelving, room partitions, kitchen backsplashes, bathrooms, showers, you know, the old curtains. Man, your bathroom looks old, bro. Your bathroom looks old. Get glass. One of the things, if you're going to sell your home, one of the things that you really want to do is update your bathroom. That's kind of a big deal if you want to sell your home. Or you just want it more livable and look nicer. Glass, okay? And Bluebonnet Glass. No job too big, too small. Even if you just have a window out, no big deal. They'll come and they will replace it. They do. They're Johnny on the spot, and they're going to have. They're going to do what they say they're going to do. Customize glass. Make it look as beautiful as you want or as plain as you want. Bluebonnet Glass can do it. Bluebonnetglass.com. Bluebonnetglass.com. 832-508-0911. Tell them you heard it right here. Bluebonnetglass.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 8:49. Before we got Chris and Reese. Some news coming out of yesterday as well. Cam Smith to play some center field. Cam Smith in center.
Yeah, it's a matter of time, right?
Right. The Astros don't always have a lot of athletic guys. So
what do you mean?
Well, I mean, you know.
What?
Really athletic.
Has there has there ever been a bigger hint that no one actually believes in this Jake Meyers thing? Like, it's like, yeah, no, but that's not real.
Well,
why is it the year he had last year, why aren't we locking in saying, golly, no. We finally found it. This is our Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
This is our Sam Darnold. We waited it out seemingly 10 to 12 years with Jake.
Yeah.
And now we got our Sam Darnold.
Not so much. Not so much. Yeah, I don't know. Nobody believes.
No one believes.
Well, first of all, he's on the trade block.
The Astros don't believe. There's been too much talk. How about Brian McTaggart? Astros need a, you know, looking for an outfielder.
No.
Now, granted, I understand the left field thing.
Right. They don't have a left fielder.
Because Altuve, finally, they came to their senses. Altuve's not a left fielder. You don't want Yordan out there all the time. And so, you know, I'm with you. If this were a video game, you could just put anybody out there. You'd have Paredes out there.
Yeah.
You know, if this were a video game, apparently Paredes.
How about if he took 1,000 fly balls a day?
He plays turd.
Okay. He did not say that. Isak did not say, I play turd. He never said that. Okay.
Well,
not yet.
I play first. I wanted to publicly say, I play first.
I thought Christian Walker would say, I play first.
He would. First. And I want Paredes to say the same thing. I play first.
So then what happens?
Then hopefully somebody gives you a lot for Christian Walker.
Well, that makes sense. Hey, we've decided we're going to pick this other guy to play. You want to give us a lot of stuff for the guy we don't want to play?
Listen, we know we have no leverage. We're wondering if you'd be interested in this guy, when he gets hot, can be pretty good at hitting home runs.
Yeah. Can I trick you into loving Christian Walker?
Pretty good.
All right, let's get Chris in here. Hey, Chris, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. Yesterday, you guys were talking a little bit about coaches, and I'm just going basically off of last names, but Clint Kubiak with Oakland or with Houston, Las Vegas. I'm assuming, Lance, please correct me, does he run the Kubiak-type offense that the kind of stuff that Gary used to do? And if so, does that set up really well for Mendoza with Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers in there, and maybe if they can just find a receiver? It's almost like he's got the Gronk you know, type protection there with Brady as the GM. I just was curious. My prediction, I don't like the Raiders personally, but I predict them to go 10-7 next year.
Oh, man.
Because I think you're giving Mendoza two really good. I thought Mayer was going to be way better when he came out of college, but he's still a good tight end. I think you're giving him two really, really, really good tight ends to have dump off to, which is going to help you know, Genty and some other folks. And I'll hang up and listen to see what you think about that.
I don't know if you're going to go 10 wins with two tight ends. I'm not sure that's the model. It's hard to win. You're with the Broncos, the Chargers,
and the Chiefs.
And you're going to try to Michael Mayer them into submission.
Well, Brock Bowers, too.
And no, Brock is the guy. Brock had like all of his touchdowns in two games.
You know, they got a lot of money, too. They should be able to go out and find some receivers.
What about an offensive line?
Would they like an off? Well, that has to be priority number one. Mm. And offensive linemen, we talked about it before.
They need weapons though.
Good offensive linemen do not live in free agency. Yeah. They rarely exist in free agency because if you're good, a team's signing you because there's so few of them. The supply side is low. The demand is high. You don't let good offensive linemen walk.
Did you see what Ed Ingram is projected to receive in free agency this year?
Who came up with this number you're about to tell
me? This number came out of, I forget where I saw it.
Ed Ingram's agent?
No,
it's probably higher than it should be because he has
some random on Twitter Texans Jacob. Is that who you saw this from?
Where'd he get?
I don't know.
It may have been valuation.
I think Ed Ingram is worth somewhere in the range of 12 to 15.
Wait a minute, that's what you're going off of.
Who was it?
Texans Jacob.
Is that it?
I don't know. I don't know what you saw.
I don't know where I saw it.
I think Ed Ingram is worth somewhere in the range of 12 to 15 million is what he thinks. I'm not sure what
Ed. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what he's looking for. The valuation on him.
3 years, 39 million. 13 per.
This is from Aaron Wilson. Texans guard Ed Ingram's free agency market is expected to be in the 15 to 18 million per.
That's it.
Per year?
This is on Facebook, so I don't know.
You said 3 and 39.
I've got AI saying 3 years, 39.
I'm going to find and see if Aaron Wilson actually wrote that or just someone attributed that to him.
And this is why AI is not properly aligned. This is why you can't trust AI. They're trying to give Ed Ingram $13 million a year. This is why AI has got to be stopped.
Well, he's talking about 15 to 18.
Well, it ain't going to be my team.
Look, I don't know.
It ain't my team.
They attributed that to Aaron Wilson. I don't know that Aaron Wilson actually said that.
Jared Cott from SI says
SI is not even a real place. They're just aggregation place.
Oh, well, he quoted Aaron Wilson.
I got to find where Aaron Wilson said
it. And Aaron talks to agents, by the way.
It could land $15+ million deal. Yep. Ed Ingram.
Wow. Yep. Wow, wow. Well, goodbye to Ed Ingram.
Bye. It was nice knowing you. It was great to have you.
I would be shocked.
What was your favorite Ed Ingram moment?
A functional guard is making more than all of the running backs? Than almost every running back other than three? Ed Ingram? This is broken.
And he was blocking for the worst one of the worst running games in the league.
Well, you know
and
what?
And he's going to get 15 to 18?
So here's what it was last year. Here are the numbers last year. The AAV, average annual. For Aaron Banks was the top guy, $19.2 million. Will Fries, $17.5 million. Now, those two guys are both better than Ed Ingram. Patrick McCary, $12.5 million. Mekhi Becton, injury prone, $10 million. Kevin Zeitler, old, $9 million. James Daniels, $8 million. Coleman Shelton, $6 million. Alex Kappa, $5 million. I would say 10 to 11 might be a realistic number based on the level of play for these guys. And maybe even you look at Patrick McCary, who's a guard center combo, but he's a two position combo player. he got 3 years, 37.5. So that's probably where the 339. So that's probably a realistic number, 3 and 39. I would never pay that for Eddie.
Yeah, it's an article.
Not in a million years.
In an article from yesterday talking about the Texans and what they may need to do in the offseason, said Ed Ingram, 15, 18 million, could command that.
Mm hmm. Y'all immediately go, where did you see that?
Because I can't.
We have to.
With you. Yeah, we have to.
You're fooled frequently.
Yeah, no. We always have to look into what you see when you see stuff.
I research everything. I don't read headlines.
Yeah, you only read headlines on News of the Weird.
That's all.
That's would all. You like well, to have your sack
Wait, do you
fall
see
into
today?
Guys, a man in Indonesia stuck his unit in an ant hole. Would you want to stick your unit in an ant hole?
Have you ever?
Have you ever?
Have you ever?
That's have you right. ever done that?
Have you ever, yeah.
A man had sex with a vacuum? That's what we found
yesterday.
Out at the Gold Nugget?
Yeah, yesterday.
Let me ask you a question. Would you ever sign a free agent guard for that amount of money when you can get a third-round guard for roughly $5.85 million total?
Well, do you trust Nick Caserio to identify a good third-round guard?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're not taking Ed Ingram for $13 million.
I would say yes.
He's gone.
But I wouldn't trust Nick Caserio in that scenario to draft that third-rounder.
It's really easy, Dale. Have you ever heard of something called Russian roulette?
That's not a great game to play.
This is the reverse Russian roulette where there's five bullets in and there's one empty chamber, and you're spinning and hope that the empty chamber is the draft pick that hits. At some point you're going to hit. You have a 1 in 6 chance.
Well,
when I say hit, like, you know, having a pick that's a pretty good guard.
Hmm.
So, yeah, one Lake and Tomlinson. Ed Ingram was actually decent this year.
Yeah.
I didn't know DC gets you 13 a year, but apparently that's 15, great.
Or 15, 18.
I mean, now you're going Aaron Banks territory?
Well, no PFF way. Tells you that Ed Ingram had a really good year. So I don't like playing this game of Russian roulette with Nick Caserio involved because it feels like every chamber has a bullet in it. And no matter what I spin, I'm going to get shot in the head when it comes to picking.
Okay, tell it to tell,
what
tell
did it. Trey Smith get?
Why are you using Trey Smith?
What?
Why are you using Trey Smith as the comp?
I'm just saying, how much did he get?
I don't know. As much as a good guard gets.
Well, yeah, we got to get his contract.
Why? Why are we looking at Trey Smith? Are you representing Ed Ingram?
Trey Smith's
what
got
are you doing? Are
4
you the
years, $94 million
yeah,
for Trey
we're
Smith.
Not doing Trey Smith. There's no reason to talk about Trey Smith's contract.
Let's see where Trey Smith PFF ranking
that's
is
like
compared
David,
to Ed Ingram.
That's like David Mulgeta saying, who's the highest paid quarterback? In the
4 years, 94? That seems about right for Ed. All right?
$23.5 million a year.
Yeah. Okay? That sounds about right.
He went to LSU. John's got his – you know how David Mulgeta gets Longhorns because he went to University of Texas? Well, you didn't go to LSU, but you're trying to just get
– He associates quite a bit with them.
Yeah.
They care about me. Mm. That's just all
yeah.
I care about them.
We've heard that before.
The LSU guys.
They care about
they
you.
They care about me. Yeah. That's why.
Is that,
that's why I'm always.
Is that
yeah.
true?
They share, their contracts with me.
You get a little cut from that?
Yeah,
is that what
cut.
Happens?
I get a cut.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Jamal Adams gives you a little piece?
A little piece. A little wet. What's the beak?
the honey badger, too?
Yeah. Mm. What's the beak?
So why are you working here if you're getting a little bit from all those guys?
Because I love it. Because
you know
I love
what?
My job.
You love the game, huh?
I love
yeah,
the. I
love
getting
the game.
Up at 4 a.m. in L.A.
Lance, I don't know if you've heard, if you compare their grades from last year, Ed Ingram, in some ways, better than Trey Smith. So maybe he does deserve.
Maybe he does. Yeah. So there. Why are you pocket watching Ed Ingram?
Because it's our pockets.
No, it's not. It's
Cal's pockets. We don't care.
We ain't paying
I don't care.
In a way, it's my pocket.
So he wasn't as good of a pass blocker as Trey Smith. Far below. Trey Smith, 75.1.
That's interesting.
Ed Ingram, 55.2.
Better run blocker?
But he was a better.
When?
I'm just saying.
When did that happen?
Trey Smith.
That 100-yard game?
Telling you, Trey Smith's run block grade for 25 was 63. Ed Ingram, 75.6.
That's great.
Overall,
you know
great.
You know who used a lot of PFF grades for drafts?
Who?
And evaluations?
The Minnesota guy?
The Minnesota GM. You know who's heavily invested in with Parag? His name is Parag. He is a huge analytics guy. The 49ers. They lean heavily on analytics. And their drafts are not too tutti frutti. So maybe we don't worry about PFF grades, and maybe we worry about, hey, does it make sense that Ed should be getting $13 million a year? Not for my team. Okay.
You
that
keep
sounds good.
Trying to keep him at 13. We're talking about 15, 18
keep that
here.
Man down.
I mean, listen.
Accept your
fate.
I'm
not playing this game. Yeah. No. Well, it's not going to be our team, so what do I care? You're right. Right. It's not going to be our team. What do I care?
901. It's going to be Zadik Jewelers. That's what it's going to be.
I mean, it'd be cheaper to go to Zadik Jewelers, get him something nice.
Yeah.
So you want to stick around and compete for a job?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would say. And I could go find Ed a nice luxury watch. I could do that. I could do that because they have the best luxury watches. Now, look, I'm going to tell you about Valentine's Day in a second. But, guys, while you're in there getting a Valentine's Day gift for your special someone, and they've got it edited already where they say, okay, here's Valentine's Day gifts. We're gonna knock it out of the park for you guys. Here's the tennis bracelets. These are the earrings. These are the rings. These are the necklaces. And they've got a whole wide variety of things that are can't miss, sure to hit for you this Valentine's Day. While you're in there, though, and they're – you know, just say, hey, can you show me the watches, the men's watches? Go look at the biggest names in men's luxury watches that you will find in the world. And they're actually a boutique location for several of these watchmakers. And so what that means is they get unique timepieces. They have special cutout sections inside the 28,000 square feet where you find actual unique timepieces that you're not going to find anywhere else, and certainly in the city of Houston and for the most part in the state of Texas. That's how they're doing it. They're one of the best. When it comes to buying, selling, or trading, it all starts at Zadig Jewelers. Everyone in the Houston area who collects watches or who is into luxury watches already knows this. You need to know this as well. Valentine's Day gift, it's easy. Forget about it. They're going to hit a home run for you. While you're in there, look at those men's luxury watches. You're going to be blown away. It's Zadig Jewelers, 1801 Post Oak Boulevard.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.